This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We're the ones that take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard for the latest in the local news. In the studio tonight, Paul is here without a microphone, but Stefan is.
Good evening.
And my name's Matt. Now, gaining visibility for the LGBTI community in China can be a challenge, contending with government controls, censorship, limited cultural acceptance, and enormous population influence. But visible statements of pride do occur, like Shanghai Pride, and Australia has even played a part.
Yes, an Australian helping to wave the rainbow flag behind the Great Wall of China. Join us shortly in the studio. Linda Ru, director of the film This Perfect Day and attendee of the recent Shanghai Pride Festival in China.
And also Chris Luskry and Jake Shannon, director and producer of the short film Sammy the Salmon, which was also shown at this year's Shanghai Pride.
Plus, in Worldwide Rap, we look at attacks on the Equality March in Poland.
The fight to decriminalise homosexuality in Dominica.
And update you on the trans rights bill in India.
Now, you know that we love you to be a part of our show. You can send in questions, comments, thoughts. You can SMS us 0427JOY949. Send us an email onair@joy.org.au. Call the front desk on 1300JOY949 and we're live on Facebook for your questions and comments.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
We are China-bound tonight as we look at Shanghai Pride, and I guess it's a great opportunity to go behind the scenes and see what actually happens at a festival like this. Welcome, first of all, to Lydia Rui.
Yeah,
right. You've directed a short film, This Perfect Day, and you actually attended Shanghai Pride this year. So I want to find out a bit more about that. And also Chris Luskry and Jake Shannon, whose short film Sammy the Salmon was shown at this year's Shanghai Pride as well. Welcome, guys.
Hello, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
Hello. Thank you, Matt.
Lydia, first of all, look, give us a bit of a flavour. What does Shanghai Pride look like?
Shanghai Pride was really lovely. My first introduction to it was through the American embassy in Chengdu, and then after which I was asked to be a guest on a panel at the Shanghai American Center. And then afterwards we had another screening at the British Center in Shanghai, where there were three other Australian films presented by the Australian consulate in Shanghai. And all the rooms were pretty full of LGBT audience from China, a lot of a mix in terms of age, but a lot of young people who are really, really hungry, I think, for that kind of queer content. And, you know, to see themselves represented and the kind of diversity of stories that could be represented on screen.
Did anybody comment on how often they're able to see these kinds of stories?
Nobody outright said that, but I think there's definitely limited venues where you can see those kind of stories, especially on a big screen, for sure. Yeah.
And so they were actually shown within embassies in Shanghai. We've sort of seen that in a couple of countries where they're kind of a safe space for anybody just to rock up. It's not, I guess, as overt as we might have here where, you know, rainbow pride flag hanging out the front. Is that sort of Is that the idea, to give a safe space to watch?
Yes. Yeah. It is definitely an international kind of space, but it's by no means meant to be contentious at all.
As a filmmaker, were you able to... were there Chinese films, Chinese queer films shown, or was it mainly international?
I think they had different... they also had Chinese representation on screen for sure as well. And I think the Chinese audience were interested in seeing Chinese stories, Chinese queer stories represented, but also international stories. For example, there was a Danish drag queen documentary, and they got to compare how flavorful that queer community is, for example, outside of China. But I think they still take pride in the kind of identity that they're able to show in China as well. It's just different.
Chris and Jake, perhaps to bring you in now, how did you become a part of Shanghai Pride?
Well, we basically just submitted the film onto Film Freeway, and
a Film Freeway.
Yeah, that's a website, and pretty much anyone can sign up and start submitting films that you've made, and it's really streamlined, and it's really simple to use. Yeah, and they picked us up on there and brought the film to China.
And have you had... so you weren't able to attend?
No.
Have you had any feedback from the festival or from anybody there?
Yeah, I've heard it was well received. Got a few laughs, apparently. And I also saw some photos of the event, and it seemed like there were a lot of really, really keen young people from the community that were really interested in seeing their own identities on being represented. Yeah.
Mm. So there seem to be quite a couple of film festivals around Shanghai Pride. What's the importance of having these queer films alongside celebration for the population there?
I think they didn't mean for it to compete with the Shanghai Film Festival by any means. Mm. It just kind of happens to precipitate it. Mm. But I mean, I think it's a great kind of accompaniment, and I don't think there should be any kind of competition there, because it's drawing in at the same time when Shanghai Film Festival is happening. There's also, you know, an influx of the international community arriving in China. I think it's a great time for kind of that cross-pollination to occur. And, for example, I have a friend, Paul Mark Duartes, whose film was at Shanghai Film Festival, who's a very talented young gay filmmaker, and he wanted to attend some of the Shanghai Pride events, for example, that wouldn't be on offer from Shanghai Film Festival. And honestly, I think it would be a great opportunity for Shanghai Film Festival as well, because there's a lot of corporations, a lot of brands who are interested in supporting Shanghai Pride. But that shouldn't take away from the light on the Shanghai Film Festival as well.
Yeah, so increasing the cultural diversity and different audience as well, and maybe some
it's
audience that wouldn't go to...
It's a different kind of offering, yeah.
Mm. We're going to talk more about films very shortly, but are there other events, or did you get a chance to see other events around Shanghai Pride? Like here we would have a street parade. I'm guessing that's probably
there was
not...
There was a marathon, yeah. There was a marathon followed by a big brunch, which had hundreds of people in attendance, totally sold out. They had basically events on every night. There was a gallery art show event as well. In, again, corporate space, because I think a lot of brands see opportunities, really, for the Chinese. It's a very big market, and a lot of, there are a lot of kind of out queer young, not just young, but like out queer people in China who want to, you know, show their support by wearing visible labels. I think it was like when Gucci had a brand like Gucci or Louis Vuitton did like a rainbow range. It sold out within the day, you know? Mm. So I, yeah, there were events every day, and you know, my first night there was a really fun ladies' night.
We're going to find out more about that tonight. We are talking China and Shanghai Pride with Lydia, Chris, and Jake. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Dr. Joseph Goh from Monash University, Malaysia, on the Worldwide Wave.
I was sitting on a futon couch in a far-off town where the desert meets the sea. You were only wrapped in a towel when you walked out the spare room at my friend's house. Oh, I feel I met you before. Something inside me is trying to remember a story. Oh, I think I've loved you. I've loved you before. Something is talking my sleeve like a secret whispered from the future. Maybe this is us now. Maybe this is us. Hey, hey, what do you say? Wanna make history start today? Hey, boy, what do you say we do from here? Hey, what are you thinking? Sink, 'cause I see everything now. Sitting on this futon couch. Sitting on this futon couch. You were never gonna leave that town where your friends always drop by unannounced for tea. Oh, and where the pain of the world was swallowed when the sunset wiped you clean. Oh, and you had heard it before. Nothing is changing until everything changes at once. Oh, I knew I felt it right down to my core. Something was writing itself on the walls of our future hearts. Hey, hey, what do you say? Wanna make history start today? Hey, boy, what do you say we?
On the Worldwide Wave, that was Mr. Higgins with Futon Couch.
Some of our great Aussie talent.
Absolutely, showcasing great Australian talents today.
Like what we've got in the studio tonight, which is Lydia, Chris and Jake, who have all made films that appeared in this year's Shanghai Pride Festival. Message in on Facebook about the story in Singapore where 4 out of 5 Singaporeans agree that LGBTI people face discrimination. Mm. Selena says, then fix it. Stop the discrimination. Very simple. Selena, we love the way you think. You can send us your messages. Maybe you've got a question for our guests tonight on their experiences in Shanghai. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au is where you can reach us. Lydia, just before we went to that break, you were talking about younger people in Shanghai who are keen to show their rainbow colours. What did you see?
I think I just saw a lot of people who, you know, would just find ways of, you know, where they love to wear t-shirts that have rainbows on them or have badges or pins. And I have a friend who runs a community group who goes around to different businesses with also a range of volunteers, and they just try to, you know, ask various businesses, including small ones like restaurants, if they would be willing to put a rainbow badge or a sticker outside their shop, just to show that they support this kind of community and that it's a safe space for queer people. And I think that kind of visibility, it's just, it seems like a really small gesture, but it means a lot.
Do people outside of the queer community know what that means? As in, know what the rainbow symbol means?
I think more and more do, yeah.
Mm. Great.
Yeah.
Great. And is it something you've seen change over the years? Or is it fairly new, or it's kind of gathering momentum, or just starting?
Definitely. I mean, this is my first time back in China in almost 10 years, maybe 8 years, and it's definitely very different now, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your actual films that were shown in Shanghai. Let's start with Sammy the Salmon, which I haven't seen yet, but I believe there's a talking salmon involved.
Yes, there is a talking salmon.
Give us this. What's it about?
Well, it's about a young man named Spencer who is struggling to come out to his girlfriend that he's engaged to, and he sort of confides in a talking salmon that decides to help him out.
I'm intrigued. See, now I've got to go and see it. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I was looking up animals that engaged in same-sex relations, and I found out that not only penguins, giraffes, but also salmon.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And I thought that, and not only are they engage in those relations, they are also transgender, and I just found that
really
incredible.
Transgender salmon.
Yeah. I thought there's a film in that for sure.
What about why is it important to you to create a queer film rather than any other film? Surely there's a wider audience if you took a broader view.
Well, I feel like I'm a huge ally of the community, and I'm a really big advocate for rights across the board. I'm in support of any minority, basically. And around the time of the plebiscite, there was a lot of scathing arguments, I guess, on both sides, and I just sort of wanted to create some sort of media that would sort of bridge the gap and something that some people could sort of bond over, and I feel like the audiences from both non-LGBTQI and the community have appreciated and they like the talking salmon.
So it's as important for you that a non-LGBTI community sees this and gets something out of it.
Yeah, well, I feel like we're all one. We're all in this together. And I don't see that much of a difference between people on the surface. We're all humans. We're all trying to get along. And, I mean, some of us aren't in the way that Sammy is. He's a fish. And I found that I could draw a lot off this very anomaly sort of thing in the animal kingdom, and that has a strange connection to our world, our human worlds, which...
Do you think it's easier for people watching to... If they're thinking it's a difficult issue to talk about or to watch, it's easier to do it when it's a bit of fun, it's a talking fish, as opposed to a real-life human?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I find that comedy really, it breaks the ice. And I felt like that's what we needed in that time. And, yeah, I think comedy we all like to have a laugh. It doesn't matter any of your backgrounds or whatever. I think we all like to have a good laugh and a smile. Mm. And that's what brings us together as people, I think.
And Lydia, your film, The Perfect Day, tell us about that. What's that story about?
This Perfect Day is just... It's a very, very small film. It's only 6 minutes without credits. So it's just kind of a moment in a young person's life as they kind of overcome their fears. And, yeah... It's like a coming of age. I don't want to say too much in case I give it away. It's just a moment.
Spoiler alert. They're both short films though. How do you have impact in such a small period of time?
Well, it's pretty difficult. You've got to. I mean, feature filmmaking is very difficult as well. You've got to be concise, though. You've really got to hit those points pretty quickly and pretty, be pretty sure about what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Lydia?
I think it's just about subverting expectation and also creating unexpected moments and, yeah, hopefully...
They're the memorable ones. Is that
Hopefully. I mean, I think with everybody's attention spans shortening anyway, I think a short film in a way can be used to create even more impact than perhaps a feature sometimes. Mm. If it's more, you know, easily shareable.
And what does it mean to you as filmmakers for your film to be picked up by someone like Shanghai Pride?
I think it was great. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's huge for me. It was such an honour, especially when in any other sort of circumstance you couldn't say that a film like Sammy could be screened in Shanghai. Mm. It's a huge honour.
Yeah, honestly, I think it was, I mean, like I said, I hadn't been back to China for almost 10 years, and then just having the Australian consulate and Shanghai Pride support me to come back in this context was really remarkable. Just being, for example, the very first screening at the American Embassy in Chengdu, everybody in the audience, it was completely full, the room was completely full, and everybody had... so many questions, and there was just this kind of enthusiasm in the air. It was really, really rewarding.
We're talking all things Shanghai Pride tonight with Lydia Rui, director of the film This Perfect Day, and Chris Luskri and Jake Shannon, directors and producers of Sammy the Salmon. This is World Wide Wave.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy. Out of my mind, out of my mind. Wrote it down and read it out, hoping it would save me. Too many times, my love, it makes me feel like nobody else, nobody else. Don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling cause he's drunk and alone. Two, don't let him in. You have to kick him out again. Three, don't be his friend. You know you're gonna wake up in his bed in the morning. And if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. I got no rules, I count him. Pushing forwards, but he keeps pulling me backwards.
Nowhere to turn.
Now I'm standing back from it. I finally see the pattern. Kick him out again. Free.
You're listening to World Wide Web. That was Dua Lipa with New Rules.
Now,
so, and I think there was a story behind that.
There's a story behind that which actually links in with tonight's show. So Dua Lipa, had performed at Shanghai at a concert, and some supporters who were waving rainbow flags were ejected, and she's a British singer, but she came out afterwards and said she was totally horrified by the incident. She said, "I will stand by you for all your love and your beliefs. I'm so proud of you," and really went on. So, great supporter. So we thought we'd play her song, which is quite a good one too. You like it too.
And tonight we're joined with Lydia Rui, and we've talked about your short film This Perfect Day, and Chris Luskley and Jake Shannon, director and producer of Sammy the Salmon. So we heard a little bit. Now I'm interested to so you're all Australian filmmakers showing your films in China. How do you craft these films for an international audience? Is it something you think about, or how do you do that?
I think I grew up quite internationally. Yeah. I grew up between Australia, mainland China, Hong Kong, Singapore, and New York. So I think I kind of inherently do not have like a strictly Australian view. And so I've actually had people say to me like, "Oh, your film could be anywhere." And I think that I don't intentionally do that, but I like that because I think our films, our stories should be, accessible by a global audience.
So it comes naturally to you.
I think so. And the films that I watch as well, you know, the films that I'm inspired by are also from all across the world.
And Chris and Jake, do you have any
in relation to our film? I don't think we had any kind of over consideration of how it might play to an international audience, so much as trying to craft something that had a kind of narrative and thematic cohesion unto itself. And I kind of feel like that's kind of the key to making a film that does travel. The more you kind of try and keep a mind out trying to make a film to please too many separate audiences, the more that vision gets diluted. And I think one of the things that's great, for instance, about Lydia's film is that it feels so contained to something really rich and personal and specific that actually that does translate. And I think the deeper you can go into a particular feeling, and in our case, you know, there's all kinds of references in the film to certain aspects of Australiana, like we cast Mark Mitchell as the voice of Sammy, and he's, you know, very famous as Round the Twist, Mr. Gribble. So there's all kinds of cultural touchstones that Australian audiences will be familiar with, but an international audience mightn't, but that wouldn't necessarily take away from the film.
I've got to ask, how did you get Mark Mitchell?
I just called
Mark
through
we want you to be a talking salmon in a queer film, and he said yes.
He's so good in this film.
Oh my gosh,
really,
I'm
going to
leave this studio and just go and watch it now.
Yes, it was such fun working with him.
I've actually been to Mark's house, and he is absolutely lovely. He is the most kind person, so I'm not surprised.
No, it was really kind to us.
There are countries in the world, though, where there, if you include anything that is overtly gay in your film, they're just not going to. It's going to get barred. Is that something you even think about? Like, do you have to walk a line in how queer a film is?
That's a good question. I don't really know how to answer that with our film, except that, I mean, Sammy's not really the kind of film that would have lent itself to overt politicising, you know, I guess because we were making quite a small comedy, It kind of had this quality to it that needed to be sustained as a comedy, and were we to cross over into kind of overt speechifying on behalf of any of the three central characters, it would have thrown the comedy off. So in that sense, it was like a kind of careful balance between those elements during the writing and obviously during Jake's direction, which was really kind of elegantly done. And what about for you, for your film, Lydia?
I just wanted to normalize non-heterosexual relationships and other minority characters who don't get enough screen time. So for me, the film didn't revolve around their sexuality. It's more just who they are, and showing that these characters who are in non-heterosexual relationships have this whole inner world, inner life beyond their sexuality as well. I think that was, and also because I've been very privileged to, for the last few years anyway, be in an environment where I didn't feel like my sexuality was a hindrance, I guess. So I guess that also transferred across into my filmmaking.
And that kind of gives, I would think, that kind of gives different outcomes for different audiences. So a straight audience might look at that and go, oh, I've never really, you know, didn't really notice it was so normal. An LGBTI audience might feel, oh my God, that is so fantastic. I want that. Or
I found it was interesting in China. I think they were potentially a little more hungry for more overtly, because it's a bit newer, I feel, in terms of how out they are as a nation. I think sexuality is much more part and parcel with their identity. So I think they were actually, in a way, more hungry for stories that really revolved around sexuality as part of their identity.
Are you talking from a broader general public or
from the LGBT?
The LGBTI community.
Yeah.
Your story, your film, was a very personal story. How do you feel about sharing a personal part of you to a very wide audience around the world?
I don't mind it because it still deviates enough that it still can be entertaining, I guess, and still... I had a lot of people come up to me afterwards, both at Tribeca and Shanghai Pride, saying how much the film resonated with them, that they saw themselves in that same situation or knew people in similar situations. So I think I'm not really unique in that sense. And so when I'm sharing these kind of personal stories, I'm finding more and more people who are like me, so it's not too hard.
What about do you have any thoughts on the rise of queer Asian film? There's a lot more queer storylines being woven into both films produced in Asia or about various Asian countries. We've now got queer film festivals. Any thoughts on what's happening?
To be honest, I'm not really on the pulse in terms of a lot of queer Asian filmmakers, but I just think in general representation is important, because just having representation as an Asian in a Western society on film is a battle in and of itself. So I think it shouldn't, to avoid tokenization, there should be more visibility towards queer Asians as well, you know, just to show that there's not just one kind of token box you can fit, but there's kind of a plethora of identities out there and experiences out there.
And for each of you, the ability of film to, I guess we sort of touched on this before, that LGBTI issues can be quite difficult. What's the power of film to cut through that? What do you want people to walk away with after they've seen your film?
Well, I mean, specifically in China, I would love for the individuals in the audience to have a sense of connection and to be able to see, being able to see themselves and their possible similar plight that they're going through might alleviate some of that tension and create some sort of sense of calmness within themselves, which would just be such a success for a filmmaker if I could create that.
Fantastic. And Lydia?
Well, like I said, the sexuality was not integral to my film, and yet having them, Michelle, who plays Jules, a non-binary in real life and a non-binary character on the page, having them be in a relationship, that relationship is not actually pivotal to the story, but it just shows that they have that support externally and that they are in this nurturing, wholesome relationship despite what they're about to enter in the store. I think that's important.
Yeah, that's good. So what's next for both of you?
Is there a sequel?
What's next? Yeah.
Craig the Crab.
Semi transgender.
Craig the Crab.
Yeah, maybe. Let's. I'll have to get on my thinking hat for that one. But no, I've got another film that I'm potentially. Well, yeah, I'm shooting in a couple of weeks. Hopefully that goes all right. I've got another film that's going into the festival circuit, and hopefully that gets picked up as well. So, things are moving.
And Lydia?
I have two potential features.
Features, wow.
It's so hard. I think everything's a bit, that's a bit up in the air, and I've also got a short film that I've written and pitching on a couple other projects, and I've still got my I've got this film that's going around festivals, but I've also got a documentary from last year as well that's been going around festivals. So working on the feature.
The creativity never stops, and we hope it doesn't. So thank you very much, Lydia Rui, director of This Perfect Day, and Chris Luskry and Jake Shannon, director and producer of Sammy the Salmon. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This Thursday morning, Tom and Mikey bring joy to the world with a Christmas in July special. You'll find out how to support the Smith Family Kids Christmas charities, and Phoebe from Cloverfleet Financial has hints on how to survive the Yuletide spending. Tom and Mikey have Kris Kringle surprises for each other, as well as four amazing prizes for some lucky Joy members to win, including new luggage for your Christmas holiday. That's this Thursday from 6:30 with Tom and Mikey on Joy. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Turn us on and we'll turn it out. Joy.
When I look into your eyes, I wanna breathe you in to get me high. Crawl into the space inside your mind. Just leave me there. Now you got me wanting more. I felt religion with you on the floor. The holy word that I've been waiting for. Baby, stay with me, stay with me. We don't have to wait all night to know if this is really love. I just wanna stay the night. Feel the needle
your summer of love. Joy!
You're listening to World Wide Wave.
Yes, and we're just about to be joined by Matt, who's been escorting our guests off the premises.
Wow, I'm so excited. They've got so much energy. They've got so much ideas, enthusiasm, passion for what they do. I love that.
Mm.
What a joy it was having those guys in the studio tonight.
Did you enjoy beautiful, that?
As I said, I'm so inspired by creative people, but filmmakers, love queer film.
And there's movies.
I'm going out to watch Mark Mitchell as a salmon, as a gay salmon. I forgot. I love it. So our guest Lydia Ruhr, from the director of the film This Perfect Day and attendee of Shanghai Pride. Great to get an insight into that. You can follow Lydia on Instagram. It's Lydia Ruihuang. We'll pop that on our Facebook page.
Chris Luskry and Jake Shannon, director and producer of the short film Sammy the Salmon, shown at Shanghai Pride. And
this weekend at Lawn Film Festival. Use your favourite search engine, Lawn Film Festival. Book your tickets. I'm sure it will sell out. A big thank you to everybody that's interacted with us on Facebook. Nicole, Rosemary, Mario, Emmanuel. There's a heap more. If you'd like us on Facebook, W3Joy or World Wide Wave. And we'll post news, LGBTI news, from all around the world right throughout the week. Keep you informed. You'll be your next dinner party, you will come out with the most fascinating things. Everybody's going to say, how do you know all this stuff? I follow World Wide Wave.
And behind the scenes, thanks to podcaster Alex and social media master Dean.
And Geeks Out Loud coming up next with Miranda Clayton and the gang. Get your geek world on. Taking us out, some more great Aussie talent. Alpha Yakuri, same. Catch you next week.
Fire's gone, but I'm still burning. Could you be a little less perfect? 2 years and I'm still hurting. If I die, would you even notice? If I cry, would you even care? Well, I found someone. He's got the same eyes, he's got the same haircut, and just like you, he holds me the same way you have me. He takes the same highway to come over my place, the same place that you have me. Me turning. Why you gotta be so perfect? Replace you, it's not working. If I die, would you even notice? If I cry, would you even care? But I found someone.
I found someone.
He's got the same eyes, he's got the same haircut, and just like you, he holds me the same way you have me. It takes the same highway to come over my place, the same place that you have me. But it doesn't feel like you. A tough act to follow when the stage is so hollow. See, my heart can't be bottled. You're a tough act to follow. It's a hard pill to swallow, but my heart can't be borrowed.
He's got the same eyes, he's got the same haircut, and just like you, he holds me the same way you have me.
Thank you.
got the same haircut.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.